We're doing Mishlei, we're up to what's called the 12th chapter, the 15th Pasuk. Derech evil yashar beinav, v'shomea leitza chacham. Derech evil, the path of the fool, yashar beinav. In his own eyes, it's perfectly straight. Makes a lot of sense. One of the hardest things is to try to convince someone who's smart in their own eyes, to try and explain to them what they're doing is wrong. It's terrible, because people are within a certain cycle, and they have a very hard time breaking out of that cycle.
So how do you know
if you're a fool in this case? A person who's willing to listen to other people's advice. You don't have to accept everything they say, but listen. Then Chacham is a wise person. And I think that's pshat in the first Mishnah in the second chapter of Pirkei Avot. Rebbe says, Ezi derech yeshara sheyavor lo ha'adam. Rebbe says, how do you find the right path? You want to find a straight path. Remember, the evil, the fool, also thinks that what he's doing is yashar. So how do you find, ezoi derech yeshara sheyavor lo ha'adam? Rebbe says, how do you make a path in life that's really straight? Rebbe says, kol shehi tiferet leoseha. Whatever you think is glorious. So step one, you begin with what you think. You think it's glorious to murder, you got a problem. So how do you know if you're right or wrong? And when you speak to other people, they also think it's a glorious path. So you need both. One guy, you know, he lives in a society where they say, you're crazy, you want to be orthodox, what's wrong with you? So there's a conflict between what he thinks is glorious and what society thinks is glorious. He has to continue researching. Rebbe says, you got to have something which you find glorious and the people around you find glorious. So look, if society, if there's a conflict between you and society, listen to what society has to say and see if it makes sense to you. If it doesn't make sense to you, find a new society. Avraham Avinu lived in a society where they wanted to kill him. He wants to be a monotheist, and they tell him, you're nuts. So he has to find a new society. We have many students here whose society tells them they're crazy. You're going to keep Shabbos? You're not going to work on Shabbos? What's wrong with you? You got to get ahead in life. Okay, so then you got to find a society where you jive with them, but you also have to use your own head. A guy can't go to a satanic cult and says, they all admire what I'm doing, so it must be good. No. Tiferet lo seah. You yourself find it to be something glorious. You say, yes, this is right. This is a correct path in life, and you listen to what other people say, so you use both.
It's kind of inspiration by God or something. Where you can go? How you decide that it's good or not? It's not possible. How you judge this? You can go in, like you say, you go in some court or something.
Discuss it with them.
So you don't feel good. So you go in others.
Right. We had a lot of students here who spent a lot of time wondering. We have, I admire them, looking at, you know, we had students here who spent a lot of time in many places researching, and that's legitimate. What do you?
I hear my colleague where I stay, and they put English music, something, what do they put? They are Jews, they speak Hebrew, I work to speak Hebrew, we so much, so they're
there. Israelis?
Of course. So religious guy, you know, and before Lagbao or something. So what do I do?
You have to look for you. Okay, we're not talking about them, we're talking about us.
No,
Shlomo HaMelech says
about them, I just try to put together the pieces, no?
So I'm saying for us, a person has to be willing to hear what other people say. That doesn't mean he adopts what they say blindly. He considers it. We were given a filter. We were given intellect. But let's hear what other people say. A wise person, Shlomo HaMelech says, is willing to listen. You'll see this as a recurring theme in Mishlei, in Pirkei Avos, Eizehu Chacham, Halomed Mikol Adam. If you're willing to learn from everyone, that's called being smart. In the world, if I'm smart, then I'm a know-it-all. No one else has to tell me anything. Chazal say, no, if you're smart, you can learn from everyone. Listen and learn from everyone. Shomea leitza. A person who listens to advice, that's when a person is chacham. Now, this is very, very difficult. If you have, you will see in your own lives. Sometimes it's your parents that tell you things. You don't want to listen. Sometimes it's your in-laws that tell you things and you don't want to listen. And you have to remind yourself, Shomei Aleitza Chacham. Let's hear what they have to say. I don't have to adopt it, but let's hear what they have to say. Shomea le'etza chacham. So there's a saying that says, if everyone around tells you you're drunk, don't argue. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Right. Go to sleep.
Even you don't believe.
Right. Pasuk tet zayin. Evil Bayom Yivada Kaso Vehose Kalon Arum. Shlomo HaMelech says one of the hallmarks of the fool is that he lets his anger out on that very day. One of the hallmarks, one of the traits of the fool, is that he doesn't let things slide. And he reacts right away. And if a person is intelligent, so then, even though he is angered, and he feels that he has to do something about it, he will take time to think. V'chose kalon arum. A person who is arum, a person who has cunning, he covers up shame by waiting for the proper time to let his anger out. So the classical story is the story of the husband who...
Naval.
Oh, so there's another story. There was a guy who kept wanting to have his Rebbe over for a Shabbos meal, and finally the Rebbe agreed. And so it's Friday night, they come out of shul, and he's in seventh heaven. His Rebbe's coming to have the meal by them. And they come to the house, and the house is topsy-turvy. The kids have been pulling at one another's hair, throwing things all over the floor. And they open the door, and he sees the house is a wreck. And he feels so bad, and his wife is trying to catch up with everything. And so he smiles and tries to ignore it and sings Shalom Aleichem and Eish Yischayil. And they come to the table, and the wife can barely catch her breath. And they sit all the kids down, and he's ready to make Kiddush. And he looks down, and he sees the challahs aren't covered. And he feels so embarrassed. My Rebbe's going to think, I don't even know to cover the challahs. So he calls to the kitchen, and he tells his wife, he says, Chaba, you know, the challahs have to be covered for Kiddush. At least the Rebbe should know that he knows the challahs have to be covered for Kiddush. And she says, right, I didn't get to it yet. She runs and gets the challah cover and covers it, and she's blushing bright red. How'd she miss that? And they make Kiddush, and at the end of the meal, he walks his Rebbe home, and he's all flustered, and his Rebbe tells him, can I mention something? And he thinks, oh boy, now he's going to let me have it. I didn't know to keep the challahs covered for Kiddush. The Rebbe says to him, why do we cover the challahs for Kiddush? We cover the challahs because there's this concept that the challah shouldn't see its shame, that you're making Kiddush over the grape juice and you're giving precedence to the grape juice over the challahs, right? So the Torah wanted us to have that sensitivity for the challah, an inanimate object. V'kose kalon arum. A person who has cunning knows how to cover someone else's shame. Just because they have anger right now doesn't mean that the other person has to hear it. And this is something you will encounter as a worker, as a boss, as a parent. I was at PTA last night. It's the end of the year, right? So the Rebbe suddenly tells us an issue that's been going on all year. And he says, I really want you guys to work on it. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm biting my tongue for the rest of the PTA. I felt like telling him, why didn't you tell me this at the beginning of the year? If this has been going on all year, we had two PTAs. Why are you telling me this now? Meaning it's a legitimate point. I have no issue. I'm very happy he brought it up. But I would have been happier if he would have brought it up 2 months ago, 4 months ago, 6 months ago. It's not the first time he sees me. But you know what? If you think about it a little deeper, you say to yourself, I don't know Maybe he had his educational calculations why he didn't tell me earlier. That's his question. But what will I benefit by shifting the blame, shifting the focus in the conversation and saying, well, why didn't you tell me this earlier? I benefited nothing. I can't undo the past. I get a certain satisfaction of expressing my frustration with him because I really don't understand why he didn't tell to me earlier. Shlomo Amel says you have to have cunning and think, and then you will end up covering shame because, he would have flustered. I would have put him on the spot because it's a legitimate question. You have an issue with the kid. Why don't you tell the parents? He only sees me once a week, you know. Could have brought it up, but I benefit nothing. Shlomo Amar says, when you have anger, part of the cunning you're supposed to have is to stop and think. And don't be that fool. Evil bayom yivadaka aso, the fool, well, the minute he has anger, it's going to come out that day. If you have cunning, you stop and you think and you ask yourself, is it the time? Is it going to be effective? And then you end up covering shame for the other person and yourself. You'll have situations where your son or daughter or wife says something and you really feel like answering them. But there are other people present, and if you answer them in front of other people, you'll embarrass them. So part of the cunning we're supposed to develop with ourselves is that we don't respond right away. We don't have to be that evil. Our anger doesn't have to come out on that day. We'll think it over and we'll see. We'll decide as life goes on. There's a famous story about Abraham Lincoln that after his death, they found a drawer filled with letters that he wrote and never mailed out. That very often when he was upset at someone, he'd write them a letter expressing all his anger, and then he'd put it in the drawer never to be mailed out. The anger he expressed in writing, but then he didn't mail it out. And it's unclear whether he never intended to mail it out, or after he'd write it down, he'd tell himself, now I wait, I don't mail it out the day I wrote it. And after giving it more thought, he decided on all these letters not to mail them out. There are different versions. I guess different scholars came to different conclusions. But at the end of the day, he had that intelligence not to mail it out. Yafiach emuna. I can tell you I do this with my emails. I sometimes write an email and I don't hit the send button. I leave the browser window open. I'm going to decide either later today or tomorrow if I'm hitting the send button on that. Maybe I should write it more gently. Maybe I shouldn't write it all together. Wait. Yeah.
Save a draft.
The problem when I save a draft is then I never send it. Sometimes I have to send it. I'll never remember it.
My browser open. Next thing I know, the guy's calling me and saying, "You sure you wanted to send this?"
So I'll tell you, in Gmail I also have a thing that says undo, where after I send I have, I don't know if a minute or 2 minutes to undo a send. Yeah, but okay, I hear you. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yeah?
No, I'm saying I didn't know about the undo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yafiach, but you have to set it up. You have to go into settings, meaning if you didn't set it up, you can't do it. You have to set it up in the settings. Yafiach emuna, yagid tzedek, ve'ed shikarim, milma. Yafiach emuna, a person whose breath is true. That means truth is a habit. If a person gets into the habit of telling the truth to the point where anything he breathes, so to speak, any word that comes out of his mouth is true, so then you can be certain that Yagid Tzedek, that when he gives testimony, what he says is truthful. Ve'ed shikarim, but if a person is accustomed to telling lies, nonetheless, it's almost impossible that when he gives testimony that's important, he's going to twist the truth. And this is something which, again, you will notice. People get into habits of lying. I had a very interesting thing last week. I had to take a long trip, and there was no way I could make it without going by taxi. So I have a friend who we use his services every week, traveling to Kochav Yaakov and back. So I called him up and I said, you know, being that this is going to be a long trip, I figured maybe you want the business. He said to me, I do want the business. I appreciate it. I can't take it myself. but this is really a worthwhile trip, and I'm sure there are plenty of my workers who would be happy taking this trip. I'm going to call one of them. Okay, half hour passes, he calls me up, he says, none of my workers are available, but I have a friend I owe a favor to, and I'm sending him, he's going to take you. Okay, fine. We're traveling, and I notice that the stories the guy is telling over have inaccuracies, and it becomes evident that in stories that really make no difference, the guy doesn't know how to tell the truth. Just listening to his stories, he contradicts himself and he says things that are only slightly impossible. Okay, I'm listening, it makes no difference to me, right? That's what I thought, until we got to our destination. And he quotes me the price, which was not the price I had agreed with his friend. I had agreed with the guy who was my friend. I had agreed on one price, he quotes me a higher price. So I didn't think I have to set up a deal with him because I had already set up the price beforehand. I didn't argue. I was going to give him a tip anyways, okay? So I gave him the higher price. And then a day later, I get an email from him giving me all his contact details, how I could hire him. Meaning he wanted to circumvent his friend. Really, his friend should get a cut anytime. That's the deal with taxi drivers. There's the guy whose company it is, and then he gives it to his workers. And if he hired him, so then anytime it should go through him. So here, he's sending me an email to circumvent his own friend so that if I ever want to hire him, I should hire him directly and he won't have to give a cut to his friend. So, it fit. The picture fit. Shlomo HaMelech says, when a person gets accustomed to speaking inaccurately, when a person gets accustomed to that his speech doesn't add up to the truth, so then it follows suit that those will be his actions and that will be his testimony. Truth is a way of life. A person has to attempt to be a yafiach emunah, like Shlomo HaMelech began the pasuk, that he breathes truth. That even the simplest thing he says is accurate. Yafiach emunah, when a person breathes truth, so then yagid tzedek, you can rest assured that when he gives testimony, it's accurate, it's true. So, pick up here for Zachem next week.